Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
Progressive liberals must be accompanied by an adult. The show starts now.
We have a situation where Turkey is taking land from Syria. Syria is not happy about it. Let them work it out. We shouldn't be over there. And you should get your accounts correct. And you shouldn't be showing up buildings blowing up in Kentucky and say it's Syria, because that really is fake news.
Well, I love it. I love it. That was great. Applause, applause, applause. Mm-hmm. And I played that a couple times today because it was so brilliant. I'm so glad that he puts it right back in their face when they deliver fake news and then don't want to acknowledge it. And they deliver fake news daily, which I'm sure he'd love to just keep saying that, because it's the truth. They do deliver fake news daily. Welcome, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
Yeah, hey.
You know, I watched Mulvaney's press conference today, and he was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
He told this one reporter, why are you starting off your question claiming we've done something we haven't done?
Yeah.
You know, it's like every question. Mr. President, we know you're guilty. Would you like to tell us why you think you're not?
Yes. In fact, let me just play that 1 minute for you. If you missed it and you're just joining the show right now, this is 1 minute of expansion on what those comments were at the same press conference. And I love how he puts it right back in his face. And this really is the problem with the media. We'll just showcase this right now. Here you go.
What you your comments on. I want to pick up on what you your comments on Turkey and Syria.
Sure.
Even after all you have seen, ISIS prisoners freed, all the humanitarian disaster, you don't have any regret for giving Erdogan the green light to invade?
I didn't give him a green light.
Well, did you tell him?
That's
did you
the
defy
same
him?
Thing as you just, you know, when you make a statement like that, it's so deceptive. Just the opposite of a green light. First of all, we had virtually no soldiers there. They were mostly gone. Just a tiny little group. And they would have been in harm's way. You have a massive army on the other side of the border. But more importantly, I didn't give them a green light. And if anybody saw the letter, which can be released very easily if you'd like, I could certainly release it. But I wrote a letter right after that conversation, a very powerful letter. There was never given a green light. They've been wanting to do that for years. And frankly, they've been fighting for many, many years. And when you ask a question like that, it's very deceptive, John. It's almost as deceptive as you showing all of the bombings taking place in Syria, and it turned out that the bombing that you showed on television took place in Kentucky. So, you know, and I'm not even sure that ABC apologized for that, but certainly it was a terrible thing. I'm looking at this, I say, wow, that's pretty bad, and it was in Kentucky, it wasn't in Syria, so I don't know what you're going to do about that, but I think ABC owes an apology.
Yep, never got one. They just wanted it to go away. And so there you have it. I mean, I thought it was brilliant, and it really does showcase. It's kind of like what you said earlier. I wish you could remember what you said earlier about that kind of statement. Like, we know you're a criminal, so answer this question.
Yeah,
I mean, it's horrifying.
Every question they ask is based on a false narrative from the start.
Yeah.
Mr. President, we know you've done this, this, and this. Please justify it.
Yep. And when Obama was president, it was, we know you're making the right move. Will you tell us more about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Ugh. Frustration for sure. I think for sanity's sake, I swear to you, sometimes maybe just a good old nuke instead of this slow burn of insanity. I look at the whole next year and I think to myself, usually campaigning and all of this rhetoric and all of this nonsense and everything by so many people in Congress and the Senate and those running for office, Pelosi, you don't get into this usually until steeped into election time. But we're having to deal with this now. And I am telling you that this slow burn of lunacy that's going on, oh my gosh, just finish us off already. I can't, it's getting tough. But I did get some hope. We did get some hope in talking to Chris Ann Hall, and that she's been invited back to the White House to make some sense of some really important issues. And I think that support her. Please support her. Go to chrisannhall.com because she's paying for these trips, and it is tough on them for sure. She does this because she has a love for it, and that is an amazing thing to see a patriot have a love for what they're talking about. And she talks about the Constitution like nobody I've ever seen. Chris Ann Hall has also a show, and you can support her show too. But she's great. She's really great. By the way, tomorrow's show, and a big hat tip to Mike for this, but tomorrow's show, I have Joel Skousen and followed by Patrick Wood of Technocracy. It's going to be a great show. Anyway, you got to tune in tomorrow for that. But Chris Ann Hall, that gave me a lot of hope because they're willing to listen and they're excited to listen to her. To be excited to listen to Chris Ann Hall means that some part of these administrations have to understand what she's talking about and what she's about to be so excited about having her. And they have told her, you know, that they are that excited to have her come and work on some issues. I think that's amazing. And I applaud those people for inviting her in.
Yeah.
So cool. Oh, it's so cool. What can I say? It's great. It is. It's great. So on to the rest of what is going on. And you can also call in 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. So you were down for a few days, Uncle Milty, and we missed you greatly. And I know that you were kind of keeping up on stuff.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I feel bad for ABC.
Do you?
Yeah, because, you know,
why is that?
Syria and Kentucky, they're easy to get confused.
While so earnestly telling us it was Syria, well, they were for sure.
But they're journalists. Yeah. They don't know how to spell.
Oh, ouch. Oh, you know, I was watching a local newscast, and I'm saying this because I know that you're getting the same kind of newscast because they're all written for local newscasts from on high. And there's no accident that they all say the same things in their newscasts. And we played tape that proves that, so that's no theory. But let me just regurgitate. So instead of talking last night about the debate, instead of reporting on the nonsense that was spewed and the anti-American sentiments of, hey, we love communism. No, that wasn't talked about. The crime that's been committed amongst many of them wasn't talked about. You know what was talked about, Uncle Milty?
No.
They made sure to let us know in this state in particular that we should be so glad that that Bernie is friends with one of our senators, and that they are from two different sides of the aisle, and that we should be super happy about that. And so instead of talking about, you know, like just protecting our rights or basically what they're hired to do, the entire going over the debate thing ended up just being a look. Everybody goes out for a burger. So cool. We should just be so happy about that. That means that everything's working in our favor. Instead of saying, this is where they went anti-American, this is this batch of lunatics on stage, these are the things they said, we're just going to highlight the fact that they go out for a burger. And so there. Just be happy. I was floored.
I think Romney's ruined his political career.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. Well, he was even talking about Senator Mike Lee, but I still think that we as a society are so used to, when they don't want to highlight the obvious, you know what they go to? Friendship. Oh, look at them. They're friends.
They're all friends.
They're all besties. They all hang out together. It's perfect.
As a matter of fact, most of the time, I can't tell a Democrat from a Republican.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And the problem is that we are kind of dining on a dish called, see, they're friends, which means everything's good. And we're not recognizing what we're not being told by our media. And when the media gets away with stuff like this and we, the silent majority, stay silent about it, that's a problem. So I just wanted to point it out because they were also pointing out how our state was at a, and I know we're on the national show, but our state was like at a 100 years for the women's vote. Now, instead of just saying, oh, it's been 100 years since women could vote here, you know what they did? They went to a person who said, I know, you know, we're in kind of danger of losing that. So we got to fight for that. I'm sorry. What memo did I miss where we're in danger of losing voting? I mean, I sat there just dumbfounded thinking, is this just a message to all the women that wear the pink hats that you just soldier on? You just keep a going, girl, because you got to fight for those rights you already have. Because if that's true, I'm going to start marching for the 1600s witch burnings, because I really, really detest that. And I just want to make sure I march around the neighborhood to show my protest. That's about the equivalent of lunacy of these women fighting for rights that they already have and have had for a long time. So, yeah.
Well, for the women who believe that, I would like to tell them that you really don't need to start worrying about that until they're done taking away the right to vote from the blacks.
Well, I mean, line up, people. Line up in the... I mean, this is just getting ridiculous. We do realize, right, in America, that the marches are for stuff we already have?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going totally insane over this.
Well, but... you are, but...
Thanks. I was that tells you volumes about the media. Truly, that tells you volumes, because they won't just say what the story is. They have to paint it in a certain light to keep up the overall narrative. And I'll tell you, I could probably listen to any of the newscasts that any of you are listening to in your state. And, you know, you should do that on Facebook. What would that look like if everybody on Facebook took their nightly newscast and pointed out what we weren't told and what we were told and what we're supposed to be told? Because I actually think that that'd be a great thing to see on social media.
Absolutely.
Let's start really educating. You know, if we're going to do it, let's do it. Come on. I love that. There's a couple of things. I know that the polls were down. They keep saying that the polls are down for the president, and it's all of this is such utter nonsense, and they keep getting away with it. Gallup is owned and was bought out in 1984, Gallup poll. They've had so many legal battles over not releasing correct information and skewing things. But anyway, they were bought out in 1984 by a group of, you know, internationalists. And I just wanted to make reference to that, because when they do these polls and such, that's why we always sigh when we see a poll, because it's you don't know how questions are being asked. You don't know what groups of people they're going after. And Gallup has actually been run through the court system for going after groups of people to get the answer they wanted to get. And so the polls, I hope nobody's paying attention to those. I really do, because they're absolutely ridiculous.
Well, how much more evidence do you need than the fact that they've proven that that Fox News poll was Mickey'd by the gal who did the poll?
Right.
I mean, it's not even up for question.
Yeah. Hence the Kentucky footage passed off as Syrian. I mean, honestly, we have so many problems in the media. You know what the biggest blessing, though, is that it's all being outed all the time. And
yes.
I love that. I'll take that any day of the week.
Yep.
We went for a long time where nobody was outing it. So they were afraid. This is great. I'll take it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I thank you to your Dr. Howard and everybody, because my balance of nature is like my extra little health insurance for me. It makes me feel good every day. I will take it forever. I don't have any family, and I think of you guys as my family. I think I'm getting emotional because you care, and I get,
you're going to make me emotional.
No, but, you know, I just feel like you're my family because you really care about me. That's why I love you guys. You're like a family, and I know that if I ever needed to talk, I could talk. So thank you.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Balance of Nature is now offering a 35% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. This offer may end at any time. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Yeah. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. You can go to Kate Daly Radio. Did you know this? You can actually hit the Listen Live button on Kate Daly Radio. You can listen right from your phone, in your car, whatever. You can also play the SoundClouds, which are recorded versions of the show that usually go up that day or the next day. And you can play those, and some are 5 minutes or 13 minutes or 42 minutes or however long, 29 minutes. And you guys can listen to those and share them. And I really hope you do, because there's something really important. I know that some people out there, and I've heard this so many times, trust me, you're just talking. What about talk? Because I used to think the same thing about talk radio. I did. I honestly did. I thought, a bunch of people sitting around, you know, talking. And what is that accomplishing? What is that doing? Well, yeah. Here's the answer to that. There is an answer to that, by the
is
way.
There?
Yeah, I hope I'm not. What I'm doing isn't in vain. So here's the answer. Talk radio, to me, it wasn't like I learned a lot. I would identify, maybe get angry at something, or I'd have something maybe small kind of spelled out as far as the parties went. But I wasn't more clear on history. I didn't learn a ton from talk radio. What I strive to do with this show, and I know Uncle Milty and Chris Ann Hall and all of us that do this show, what we were striving for was truly to be able to understand history better and understand context better and get to the bottom line about stuff and the truth. What happens, Uncle Milty, when you finally really know what you're talking about and you understand some truth? What happens?
Well, you want to share it.
Yeah, you get
one.
Bold.
Yeah.
It's like eating at a great restaurant. You want everybody to know to go to that restaurant.
Well,
right?
If you know what you're talking about, mm-hmm. you're not afraid to speak out.
Right. Right.
And I kind of look at it like, you know, walking into a dark room.
Mm-hmm.
And then you flip on the light.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's something to mm-hmm. explore.
That's true. That's very, very true. Something kind of exciting about it, too.
When we talk about something, it's really just flipping on a light.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe getting you excited about learning a little more.
Yeah. And
we can't possibly teach everybody everything.
No, and I don't know everything to do it. Yeah.
Well, I do, but.
So glad your small ego didn't get in the way.
No, I mean, it's impossible. Right? Nobody does.
No.
But somehow you have to instigate that interest to mm-hmm. to learn more.
Yes. And when you start doing that, it's amazing what happens. People get bolder. They get mm-hmm. more sure of themselves. They understand a little bit more, and they will speak out more. And then they'll start to speak out more to who they influence the most. And then hopefully beyond that, your circle becomes even wider. And maybe you even have a presence on social media, or maybe you start writing your local newspaper, or maybe it's having an effect on somebody and you don't even realize it, all right? And so what happens when that happens? Because we were just talking to Chris Ann Hall about this. It's momentum. Momentum is key. It wins football games. You can be down in the dirt, but man, you start to get that momentum going and all of a sudden the team's winning and what catches on fire? More and more momentum. And that's what is created behind truth, is that momentum, so that you can get together and fight back together.
And one of the things that's happened in the last 25, 30 years mm-hmm. is the momentum has been on the side of the liars.
Yes. Yes.
Their lies got bolder and bolder and bolder, even still today.
Well, look at the footage that came out
yes.
by ABC, and they didn't even bat an eye. They were just sorry they got caught.
Yeah.
There wasn't some correction for the good of mankind because, oh my gosh, we messed up. No, they didn't even care. So those lies have gotten very big, and the silent majority has been so silent for so long that they've ruled the roost.
You know who's having a real bad time right now with that?
Who's that?
LeBron.
LeBron, head of the Communist Party or
yeah.
spokesman for the Communist
no,
Party.
No, here's a guy that from nothing became this huge, mm-hmm. popular, wonderful
yeah.
person, and here he is now
yeah.
being despised by a lot of people
right.
for the stand
yes.
that he's taken. You know, I'm a social justice guy. That's why I love communism.
I love communism. it's the truth.
Yeah.
You're right. And so I think when you think it's just talk, it isn't. It builds momentum.
Yeah.
And I love that from Chris Ann, too, because we've been saying this, too, on the show, is that there's more to it than that. And we have got to turn the tide. How do you turn a tide? How do you get a losing army to win? How do you think George Washington was able to do that? he was able to, well, I think there was some gifts from above as well, of course, some miracles that happened. But you have to be, we have to be able to turn the tide on this. And when you have truth on your side, then you know that you're in the right corner and you know that you're understanding things correctly, then it really does help. It really does work. I just wanted to point that out because I think it's so fascinating. We were just talking about Wisconsin. When you think of Wisconsin, what do you think, Uncle Melty? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
When?
Like Wisconsin. I want to talk about Wisconsin.
It's a wonderful city.
Yeah.
They have a problem there. You know, 6.5% of the mm-hmm. population of Madison, Wisconsin is black.
Okay.
And because of that, the city has actually made a resolution mm-hmm. that racism is a health crisis in Madison, Wisconsin.
It's a crisis. Yep, it's an actual crisis.
The 6.5% of the population that's black is being just abused daily.
Wow.
And the actually not. It's actually more the perception of racism is the stressful.
Yeah, it's the stress. They actually when you get into this, yeah. They said that they're glad that they're recognizing that it's a health issue because now we'll take greater measure in addressing this because of the fact that it has now been proven that the stress caused by the pressures of racism, not actual racism, but just the stress of having it around you in some form of perception, that this is the leading indicator of health disparities. I'm floored. I don't even. Anyway, I don't know what to say to this.
I like how they say now we'll take greater measures.
Yeah,
I've been called a racist for the last 50 years just because I'm white. How much of a greater measure can you take?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this is the ignorance of a city, of a county that would go to these lengths to say we have a health crisis, and we have a health crisis because of the stress of something we feel is happening. We can't actually quantify it. We don't have any actual numbers behind this. We can't actually tell you that actual racism is going on, but just that we feel pressure by the word racism. And so we're going to say that this is an actual, that we are actually contracting diseases faster because of our perception of the word racism. I few things leave me speechless, but that does. And so we have such a crisis of social justice warrior syndrome and selective outrage syndrome and ignorance syndromes in this country that an entire city declared itself a health crisis because of the stress of a ward.
It's amazing.
It really is. It really, truly is. We're in 2019. I love people of all colors. I know you out there do too. And I'm tired of the white supremacy byline. I'm tired of the narrative. I'm tired of being told that just because I'm white, I must hate everyone around me, because that's never been the case. I've never had to be told that to be kind. I've always been kind of a kind person, and I love all people. I don't have anything against anybody. So how in the world does an entire city declare itself this problem?
It's hard to understand how a lot of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess we have to really go back to the schools again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rutgers University had a woman and gender studies professor who was very obese.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very obese. And she's been obese for 30 years.
Long time.
You know mm-hmm. whose fault it is, don't you?
No.
President Trump.
How do you find President Trump at fault?
I don't, but she somehow does.
Did he make her eat a Twinkie? Like, what happened?
I guess 30 years ago, she stayed at one of his hotels and liked the food. I don't know.
I mean, how do you blame a president for that? That he's been president for a couple of years.
But the media grabbed a hold of this story like
what she was saying was rooted in some sort of something real or that she should be listened to.
Yes, and she's a professor at Rutgers University, and actually the statement was made that maybe he'll get impeached for this.
Oh my gosh, Wow.
So when you have stories like this that go around as some kind of factual
yeah, people issue, are actually going to think a health crisis is going on in Wisconsin. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I know.
It's absolutely insane.
I know.
I believe it's something in the water.
It has to be. Of all of America, I'm not quite sure. But yeah, that woman, well, honestly, it must be Trump's fault. It must be.
There's no other cause for obesity that I have ever heard of.
Right. Isn't that, you know, if you really think about that, you know, a lot of people, you know, it was funny. I had lunch with a friend. We were talking about Trump, and Trump doesn't bother her either. I could care. I mean, I don't care how Trump says things or what, you know, who cares about all those little things? And I said, I'm not dating the guy. I'm not bringing him home to my family. I'm not, my life is personally not intertwined with Trump. I don't care personality wise. If people don't like him, I don't mind him at all. I think he's great, actually. But isn't it odd that we internalize everything to this tune of, say, this woman? Now, that's an extreme version of it.
Yeah.
But my gosh, we're internalizing that so much. What is wrong with us?
I disagree a little bit. I pay close attention to the way the president presents things.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm so careful myself about how I present things.
So, yeah, you. okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're careful. So I just think that we have a tendency to do that, to feel like he's in the room with us all the time, that this is so personal and personalized and everything else, that sometimes I think we need to step back and really contemplate what's actually going on rather than our perceived notion of what's going on. And I know that the left has a little more trouble with this, and I'm being kind on that. They do. They have a little more trouble with that notion. But honestly, I think even other people do, too. And I am not a person that puts him in the corner of savior, and I also don't put him in the corner of I would never be classified as a never Trumper, because I actually applaud a lot of things that he's done.
Yep.
And I think he can be fantastic, and I actually think that with the swamp the way it is, I don't know of anybody else that could have come in to do anything. So you know what, you could go try and pick somebody. I honestly you want that kind of personality in the White House to deal with all the stuff that's going on, and I'm actually amused by it. I think it's great. So
yeah.
I don't know who else we could have put in that spot.
Well, I've thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had the power to do it, I think I would bring back the strength and knowledge and power that Jimmy mm-hmm. Carter portrayed.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. That would have done it, I think.
Man, where is that peanut farmer? Where is he? Yes, Jimmy Carter. The great old days of the Jimmy Carter administration.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. All right, be right back. You make me laugh every day. I love it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go away.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show.
You think,
make sure and go to the website, katedalyradio.com, get Balance of Nature. I talk about it a lot because I really love it, and because I think you should take it. It is really that good. You know me, I do my homework, and this was the supplement that had it all. And more. And I didn't think there was going to be one that could do it all, but Balance of Nature is surely that. And we all need a supplement. So I would take it if I were you. I absolutely love it. So does my husband. And you can get, for the code Kate, K-A-T-E, when you go to check out with it. It's already affordable. That makes it even more affordable, which is really fun, because actually it's pennies on the dollar than what you would spend trying to get all those fruits and vegetables. And it's in capsule form, and you can just take those every day and be healthier for it. It is really, truly that good. As we're going into cold and flu season, make sure that you're arming your own immune system. I put a lot of faith in arming your own immune system over anything else they're offering right now. Wink, wink. So make sure that you're going in to get that kind of help, and Balance of Nature is certainly the one. You can go to balanceofnature.com, and also you can put in the code Kate and get it pennies on the dollar. It's amazing. Yes.
Cool.
I know, right?
Did you hear that Ken Cuccinelli is going to be possibly moved from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services to Homeland Security?
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. That was announced this morning.
Okay. Because he's the one that announced. Was it him that announced how many illegal?
Yeah. He spoke about that.
Illegals.
He's
the United
acting
States.
Director.
Okay.
Of U.S. Citizenship and I like that. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, like they tie up together somehow.
Yeah. All right.
We used to yeah. call that, what did we call that before? The INS.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Immigration and Naturalization.
He's the one that came out and said, we have 22 million.
Yes.
Illegals in the country right now. Not 11.
Yeah.
22 million and counting.
And he's short about 10.
Yeah. And in California, you get to be on a state board and paid for it to affect policy, I guess. They don't care.
State boards and commissions yeah. in California mm-hmm. wants illegal immigrants yep. on those. You know how many there are? 57 different state boards and commissions. It's amazing.
It really is. Governor Newsom actually went even more left than his predecessor and decided that would be a good idea if people that aren't even citizens of our country could affect policy within our country. Oh, I don't know, for themselves. I mean,
There is one board mm-hmm. in California uh-huh. that I think if I was living in California, I would be comfortable mm-hmm. with illegal immigrants on the board. And that would be the California State Franchise Tax Board.
There you go.
I would yeah. love to have immigrants there deciding how much I'm going to be taxed.
Yeah, it's, you just shake your head because you just think it can't get worse in California, and it just keeps snowballing.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. I mean, talk about a slow death. Yes, and I've said that before. You know, I think a fast nuke would be better than the slow drain on becoming this lunatic nation. But anyway, that was surely interesting. And we should also look, too, at the fact that the measures going on at the border, too, are really supplying us with a lot of information on spying, on mm-hmm. how to get that done. The government's testing this mass surveillance on the border, and that can be turned on us. It already is, but I mean ratchet it up a few points, if you know what I mean. So we always have to be cognizant of that as far as how everything affects us.
Sure.
And anyway, it is. It's a huge mess is what it is. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of sense coming out of it. Still don't have a wall, which, come on, this is getting old.
But you know,
not that it would solve every problem, but it would sure help.
Facial recognition software mm-hmm. being used at the border,
yeah,
I think is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the issue. You don't need to stop that to make sure that it somehow isn't used against us at mm-hmm. the same time. Now, that's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
But do you want to give up the benefits of something
mm-hmm.
or work to prevent the negative aspects of it?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a choice. Throw away the baby with the bathwater. Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know if they need it. I think that, I think if we had a wall, if we did things the way that other countries have done in the past, and I think we could learn a lot from some other countries that have put up walls we still technically have a wall. That's what's so funny is the people that are against a wall act like there's nothing there. That's not,
yeah.
you know, oh my gosh, how dare us, you know? A wall just makes it a little more secure is what it is. And then you have this vetting process, which makes it a little harder to get through. And so That's a vetting process to me. Do you need the facial? I don't think so.
Maybe
if you're
not.
Vetting, so.
But we are in a situation where we have an estimated 20 million illegals in the country. So something isn't working.
22. Yeah, something's not working.
Yeah.
And that's been that way for quite a while and has been happening for a long time. And we have to get under that. You know, we're spending so much money on health care and everything else for people that aren't even contributing to this system. And it's a problem. It's also a problem because they have this very, very little known case of this terrorist that just went through the border and now is on trial. And the media is trying to bury this. And I thought that was kind of interesting, too. They don't ever want to shed light on somebody coming through the border that, gee, isn't just somebody that really just wanted to come to America for an opportunity for a job, that they actually are not and actually are working against the interests of America in general. And so, they don't want to shine a light on it, but I will. And yes, there's a trial going on right now for that.
You don't think that's a little bit of a misrepresentation? He was here for a job.
Yeah, he was paid to do something. I don't want to get picky or anything, but not the kind of job I'm talking about.
Exactly.
It's so true. Cummings is gone. That
you
was
know,
a big headline
I
today.
Woke up this morning and I heard that first thing as soon as I turned on the news. And of course, you know, I don't wish anybody a bad thing. But what I don't like is why do we have to talk about him as if he was this really great man?
Like a hero. The hero worship that goes on
after.
Yeah,
the hero worship. We did the same thing with that moron McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cummings was in government for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He accomplished very little.
Not in the way of liberty. He just accomplished a lot for the establishment.
I mean, you know, he made a few bucks. He was fairly wealthy.
Paid handsomely for his job, no less.
Yeah. But yet, his constituency didn't seem to do that well.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, wasn't Baltimore just in the news recently?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question, you know. Does everybody deserve a hero send-off? Not just a send-off, but a hero send-off when they're in politics, if they die?
Can you
still talk about them? I remember talking about, and it was a great time to do it, only because it was on everybody's mind, but when George Sr. died, see, a lot of conservatives worship him, and I don't. I'm not one of those people. I know too much about him, and I've done way too much homework on him than what I even cared to see. And so I am not a fan of George H. And when I brought up some of the things about his career, there were people that were angry that I was bringing anything up, because you have to have, I guess there's a moratorium on hero worship for a certain amount of time, and then you're allowed to talk at some other time, maybe a year down the road, about them in truth when nobody cares and nobody's talking about it. And it just bothered me. The hero worship was going on so in such volume that I was having a hard time listening to it and thinking, wow, they keep getting that wrong and that wrong. And oh my gosh, does anybody realize what we're doing here?
Yes. So envision this, Kate.
Okay.
President Trump has a heart attack, dies.
Right.
It would be like a scene. Mm-hmm. The Wicked Witch is dead out of the Wizard of Oz.
The media would.
They would praise his death.
I know. You're right.
And all of this talk about,
to me.
Oh, don't talk bad about the dead. Don't say this about the dead. Don't say
is only reserved for
only reserved for certain people.
Yeah.
And this president wouldn't get that.
No, not at all. Not at all. You're right. And that would be excruciating to have to listen to. And I wouldn't listen to it, as a matter of fact. So, you know, it does beg the question, though, and it does bring up a really good question. And I think all of us, you know, you don't want to speak ill of the dead. I get that. I understand that to a certain degree. And you just kind of let bygones be bygones and let the person go in peace. I totally understand that. But what if we have a completely skewed version of that person? I mean, I'm no fan of McCain, and I thought there was a lot of hero worship going on from the right and the left, and a lot of the left, and you gotta wonder about that. Anyway, I just think that can we ever have an honest conversation without demonizing and without making into a hero, but just an honest conversation without trying to put it in one of those camps? I feel like we should be able to do that as American citizens, that we deserve the truth. But sometimes that truth might not align with the hero worship. And so are you allowed to say anything when somebody goes? If it's radically skewed?
I think it's just, how about it just a simple, may he rest in peace.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
That's what I said this morning about.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I mean, if people had a problem with me kind of outlining a lot of things on Bush, I can understand why you might not, why you thought it was probably too soon or in the middle of whatever. I get it. I guess I've been so tired of being lied to about so many things that it just creates this, oh my gosh, I just want a dose of truth. Like, I'm so tired of it. And we have a way, especially during that whole thing, we had a way of dragging that on for a month. And it was getting hard for me to listen to. And I felt like, oh my gosh, you know, can I please just say something truthful? Because it was hard. It was hard.
And because of all that misinformation mm-hmm. and lying and mm-hmm. and skewing.
And covering up.
We've actually changed the definition of what a hero is.
Yes, we have.
You know, a hero is supposed to be a person who's admired for their courage or idealized or for their outstanding achievements yeah. or their noble qualities. I don't know anybody like that.
Yeah. I mean, and now, yeah, you're right. You're right. And so what qualifies as a hero? It's a good question. We seem to call anyone a hero. A hero is now somebody that gives up their seat on a bus. Well,
yeah.
I just call that manners. That's just manners to me. I mean, you know, you teach your kids good manners, but the giving up a seat, that's a hero? I don't know if that's a hero.
No.
And then somebody, of course, would come back with, it was a hero to the person that you gave the seat to. I know, I get it. But I still don't agree. I think it's just good manners. We have gotten to a point where we like to live in that extreme version of everything right now. And
sure.
So, you know, you can't just be somebody with good manners. You got to be a hero. And they think that we as citizens clamor for those things. But I actually think that maybe we should kind of ask ourselves to kind of rein it in a little bit, too, and maybe go for more of a truthful understanding on things rather than kind of clamor for the extreme and be okay with that and never say anything about it. I don't know. It just doesn't sit right.
Well, why don't we ever take into consideration that as you reduce the level of what really is heroic,
mm-hmm.
you are really hurting the real heroes?
That's so true.
You're not helping the non-heroes.
Right.
You're hurting the true heroes.
Right.
We never consider that, it seems.
When I think of hero, I think of Hacksaw Ridge. I think of there's a lot of people out there that risk their lives and really put themselves on the line without a second thought.
Yep.
That's a hero.
That's...
I mean, they get that. And then you're right. It diminishes what they've done that's so powerful and
amazing
when we give it to anyone.
He saved 32 lives.
Yeah.
What a hero. And he gave up the seat on the bus. What a hero.
Right. You're right. It's kind of a blanket extreme.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I like the reality of things. And I like to kind of go to where we have to remind ourselves, and even myself included. I hope that people understand that I'm always talking about myself too, is that I have to remind myself, hey, you know, don't go to the extreme. Live in the reality of what is. It's so much better for all of us, I think.
And I hope people understand that I'm always talking about you, too.
I'm going to throw a pen at your head right now. Oh, my God. I got to put up with him. I need some kind of trophy. Anyway, all right. Everybody have a good one. Be faithful. Be fearless. I have Joel Skousen and Patrick Wood on tomorrow. Doubleheader. You're not going to want to miss that. My gosh, things will be said on this show. And everybody have a great night. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.